soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on April 19th, 2012. On the line I have Bill Ziegler, man of God from Louisiana, and his website is calledoutnow.com. That's calledoutnow.com, and we've been doing several different broadcasts, which would be part of a series about the church or the church world or the ecclesia, the called out people of God, and the difference between what is the true assembly of the Lord versus the assembly of the tares, the work of the enemy. And in these last days, just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, when we're seeing the fulfillment of the things that Jesus said, the apostles, the prophets, we want to be the true people of God. We want to be abiding in the true vine, and He, His word abiding in us, so we can exemplify the true, upright, spiritual church that's built by the Lord God Himself by His own hands, and not a building of man, not a structure of man, not an institution of man, but a true called out people of the Lord, where Jesus Christ is our Lord and we're following Him. And Bill, I want to read a scripture from Hebrews 10, because we talk a lot about coming outside of the false religious system, but a lot of people really don't understand, well, what are we going to do after that? Well, how do we assemble? What does that mean? Because the scripture does say in Hebrews 10, and I want you to comment on this, Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Bill, thank you for being here, and I want you just to feel free to share about this, about what it means to assemble, what it doesn't mean to assemble before the Lord.
That's an excellent question. I've been asking myself that the last, about 3 years now. Just what does the pattern look like, or is there a pattern, or is it something else we got to conjure up? And the first thing we got to do is we got to get rid of all our preconceived ideas of what assembling means, when permit, should I say, when we were in the institutional religious organization or whatever you want to call it. So, we've got to get our mind completely off of what we've done in the past, and we need to begin to hear the voice of the Lord. And then maybe we can make some sense. It won't be answered probably in this lesson, but we can give some ideas. We can give our experiences. We can share with what the Lord has shared with us. The assembling together does not mean that we come together and got to do all these things. In the last 3 years, I don't know what the other word to use other than practice, assembling together with other people. And one group that I come across was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I went down there and I asked the guy, I said, well, when do you guys, start or whatever you do? Oh, just whenever everybody gets here. And I thought, well, that's a rather strange answer. So I went down there, and I was really perplexed because we just sit around and all was talking, and sometimes we was talking about things of the world. Sometimes we was just talking about things. And I thought, I don't know if this is spiritual or not. We're just sitting here talking, Lord. I said, what's the deal here, Mm-hmm. But see, this is part of our expectation that, we're going to receive some great wisdom or some great thing. But, until we come together and we can love one another, it says you'll know them. You first have to know who they are. It says you'll know them by their love of the brethren. Mm-hmm. So if you get together with the brethren, those who you know are in Christ, those who are at least in the same place you and I are, or somewhere in between or whatever, then maybe we can truly get together and we can assemble together and maybe God can work among us. right now there's not much that God seems to be doing among his people, because there's just too many people stuck in the building. I have found that the first thing I had to do was say, okay, Lord, you know, every day direct my steps. Every day you direct my steps. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you that if you pray that prayer, he will direct your steps. Now, he may direct you to, I shared this with Trevor about, I went to, I don't know where I was going, but I ended up over at Lowe's store, and I walked in, and this fellow that I knew, an acquaintance from one of the synagogues, I come across him, and he had been fired or lost his job or something, and he was working in there, and he's really been going through some trying times. Well, right then, when he started talking to me about what was happening, I knew why I ended up at Lowe's. I didn't go there to do what I thought I needed to do, mm-hmm. because I was there as the Lord led. Now, they say, well, did God speak to you with a loud voice? Say, Bill, go to Lowe's. No, he didn't. You know, I just got in my car and took off and, you know, was going down the road. And I was, again, like usual, I wasn't sure if I was going here or there, you know. Kind of like that group down Baton Rouge. They just did whatever come along, and it all worked out, and God got the glory in the end, and a lot of people got ministered to down there. But this gentleman, here it was, there was an assembly of two people, me and him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them, that's assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not 500 people in a house, but that's what we'll be, you know, in a church house building, but that's what we'll be begin to start to talk about. And he was really frustrated because of all the things that he's seen going on in the building. And I said, wow, I didn't know he was, you know, I really didn't know that he felt that strong about what was going on, and he gave me certain instances of certain ministries and things they were doing. He was really concerned, and he was also really concerned the way this country was going to. And, of course, with going through everything he was going through, he was concerned about that, too. But he has a job now, and he's, you know, just waiting on the Lord. And so I just shared with him, you know, I says, well, you know, you're right. His name is Kenny. And I said, Kenny, I said, all that I know to tell you to do is, I said, you got to get on your knees. I said, you got to begin to listen and hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to you. And then whatever he says to you, go do it. I says, and sometimes it's not even that clear, at least not with me. I says, it's not by accident that I came here. I says, I really didn't plan on coming here, but here I am. And Kenny, I says, this is a divine appointment. He said, well, I believe that. He says, you know, and we talked, but some, you know, we don't need to get into all the details. Mm-hmm. But here we were, just two people assembled together, and the Lord was in our midst. And I just seemed to have the words to encourage him, you know, and everything. And he had kind of wasn't a frown on his face, but just kind of a dejected look, you know, on his face when I first met him. Smile began to come on his face. And by the time that I left there, I hadn't done anything. I just tried to follow what the Lord wanted me to do for today. And so it all worked out. He got ministered to from the Lord. He got excited about the Lord. I gave him my website to go look at. You know, because he said, well, where's all this coming from? I told him, I said, well, I got a website. You go look. I said, that you might have a heart attack and die, you know, when you see the truth. But I said, most people don't understand the truth of how bad things are in this mm-hmm. state, and they don't discern the signs of the time. But anyway, assembly could be two people like that. In Baton Rouge this weekend, I'm going down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I'm going to share, well, I don't know if I am or not, to be honest with you. I'm going down there. I know I have to go down there, but I'm not sure why I'm going down there.
Right.
And I'm not sure I'm really going to share. Now, I know that sounds strange to most people, and you know, but God don't work in the ways we want. When I first went down there, like I said, I got there and I said, well, when's this thing going to kick off here? You know, he said, well, I don't know, just whenever everybody gets here. I was thinking, oh, look, I didn't realize it, but I still had some of the institutional things in me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, at least it'd have enough sense to come there on time. But there was no set time, just whenever anybody got there. And, you know, everybody knew that you could come, you know, during that day sometime, didn't matter. But we did eat at usually around 11:30 or 12, you know. They knew that the food was going to be on the table. So, of course, being as everybody knew this, there was a lot of people that they really weren't concerned about spiritual things. They just were concerned about the food, so they'd come and eat and didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to catch some of those, call them aside, and talk to them, you know, about the things of the Lord and stuff, and made some headway. Now, they really didn't want to hear it. You know, I could tell that by just looking at them. You know, the Holy Spirit shows you whether they really are listed or whether they really want to get out of there. And it was one of those type. So I planted a seed, you know, and if it wasn't the seed that I planted, I just sowed some seed, or maybe not even sowed it. Maybe I just plowed up the field. Whatever it was that I did, I was doing, and it was the Lord working on these people. It wasn't me, because I didn't plan on doing that, but that's the way it worked out.
Wow.
And many people get ministered to that way. If we would just be sensitive to the mm-hmm. Spirit of God, we would be able to walk with God, and we'd be able to assemble, whether it's one, you know, and or two or three or five, or whether you want to say, okay, this weekend, let's just all get together. And if they say, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. We'll know when everybody gets there. You know, don't have anything set. And if people's got questions, or if somebody feels like sharing something with the other people that's there, just let them share, you know.
Yes.
The best thing to do, especially like me, because I'm a teacher and my mouth's running all the time and I love to teach.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the best thing to do is just shut up and listen. So that's kind of what I try to do a little bit more. I've been a little more sensitive to that. Believe it or not, Trevor, I'm working on that.
Well, that's what, Bill, that's wonderful. I wanted to tell a little story, because back what you were just describing about being led by God and meeting with people two, three, or whatever it is, and not having it all programmed and planned. Back in the 1980s, I met some very seasoned ministry. They were in their 90s at that time. And they were telling me stories back in the 1940s in the United States that there were people that would sovereignly come together and meet. It was not planned. It was not orchestrated by man. And they would sovereignly meet in a certain location at a certain time. Nothing was planned, and then they would just worship God, you know. And it was, they said the presence of the Lord was just overwhelming. It was just awesome. So that just goes in exactly what you're talking about, Bill.
That's true. That's true, Trevor.
And I want to share a scripture from John 4:19. And following, and this is, you know, the Lord has a lot of surprises for us. We like you said, our institutional experience, the way we think things should be, but we got to lay that all down. And the Lord is our teacher, and he's going to lead us into his way. But this is what Jesus was talking to a woman of Samaria at the well. This is what Jesus said. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. But Jesus corrected her. Verse 21. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see that, Bill? It's not in Jerusalem. It's not in a temple made with hands. It's not here, there. It's in our heart. It's in our spirit. Because God's a spirit. And that's what
he's seeking.
He's seeking this.
That's right, Trevor. And that's been some scriptures that have been on my heart for several weeks. You know, and if I do, I'm a writer also, and I've done several teachings. And that scripture just seems to come out all the time. And I keep telling people, you can't go to a building to worship God. You can only go and worship a man who's putting on the program or the performance or whatever it is you're doing. You can even worship the teacher or worship this or that, but that's not what you're supposed to be worshiping. You're supposed to be worshiping the Lord, and you have to do that, and that is right. If there's somebody out there that don't understand, please pray and ask God to show you what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth, because he is a spirit, like Trevor said, and, you know, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to walk in the kingdom of God that's alongside this earth and be a member of the kingdom of God and be a member of the body of Christ, we're going to have to learn to do that. And if you don't, it's the place to where you can walk in spirit and truth and be led totally of the Lord on wherever you go, whatever you do. You're just going to sit back and, you know, just, I don't know what you're going to do, but you're probably not going to do the right thing. And you might just go back to a building or back to a ministry because you missed the fellowship of all these people, you know, even though they don't do anything, and they go there and they put a smile on their face. You see them get out of the car. I like to watch them out the front window or something of this the thing I call synagogue. And you watch them get out of their cars, and the kids just got this lip poked out, and, you know, him and daddy, maybe the kid, and daddy's giving him a tongue lashing or something.
Right.
But by the time they get to the church, everybody's put, except the kids, they're honest. So if they still got that scowl on their face, you know that something happened that hasn't been resolved. But by the time daddy and mama get to the door, they're all smiles and greeting and all this, you know. And, you know, it's not a real thing. You know there's a problem there. And sometimes, you know, you can be out in the street like that anywhere in the marketplace and run across people who, you know, you don't know. But when you meet them, if you're walking in the spirit of God, you're going to have the spirit of truth. You're going to have the spirit of the knowledge of God. You're going to have everything you need to let Jesus, if you'll get out of the way, to let Jesus minister to that person. And that's what we have to do. We have got to get out of the way, and we have got to let the Lord, because the body of Christ is that. It's a physical body of Christ that has come to this earth, and we're part of it, and Jesus wants to use us. That building, that's the building, that spiritual building, he wants to use that building to minister to us. So we've got to change our thinking. You don't even need to worry about assembling together unless my suggestion is, and I've talked to several other people who have got along, you know, come along a lot further than I have. They get together for several weeks and even months just getting to know each other, just getting to really see if they really can love their brethren. And trust me,
wow.
some people just are, you know, in the natural or unlovable. So you've got to worship God in spirit and in truth, because that's the only way you can love him. So you come together, you can meet. You don't even have to do anything spiritual, because there's nothing spiritual to do unless the Lord shows up.
Yes, he's spiritual.
That's right, because he's the only one spiritual. So if we'll allow ourselves to just sit and listen, sit at the feet of Jesus, and when he wants to speak, then let him speak. And if he doesn't speak to you, just be quiet, you know, or just encourage somebody. Just start out with a word of encouragement to somebody you know is going through something, if you have a fellowship. And just by a little two words of encouragement of it's going to be all right, or just anything, you know, whatever comes out of your mouth, just let it say, Lord, let this be, whatever comes out of my mouth be from you. What does this man really need? Because I don't know. And you're not going to know within yourself, but God does. So you just let him minister to that person through you. But you've got to be first yielded to the Spirit of God. You've got to be walking with God. And then that can happen. But if everybody's walking outside of that realm, and we're all in the flesh, and we're all in the natural state, we're not going to get anything accomplished. What we'll do is begin to talk, well, I think we should do this, I think we should do that. No, God don't want you thinking. Bad has done enough thinking and messed up enough things in this world to where he doesn't need you and I thinking about what we should be doing or what we can do to make this better. I've tried that for years and years and years, working within a religious institution and, you know, even going outside the institution, starting my own church. You know, I say that, but I'd never thought about it as being mine, but, you know, after it was all said and done, I said, well, I'd gotten away too much there. You know, I was trying to get things going in a certain direction that I believed was the proper way to go, but I was still too dumb to realize that I just was ignorant of what, you know, the ways of God, because I'd sit in the building so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been in the last couple, 3 years that I've been able to really, really, really listen to God at least once a day. Hopefully, you know, we're there all the time, but we're not. You know, let's just be real about this. We all want to be this spiritual giant, you know, that we're promised by all these religious teachers, and that's just not the way. We've got to learn to let go, let God, and walk in him, let him walk in us, and, you know, do what, you know, what God tell you to do today. And you can assemble whether you're one or two, you know, I guess you're going to have assembly, you got to have at least two people where two or three are gathered. And that should be where God is in the midst of. And if God's in the midst of that, you don't need a preacher to come in there and talk to both of you. You don't need a teacher. You don't need anybody. All you need is both of you dwelling on the Lord. And that's what I told this fellow this morning when I went in. I just told him, I said, well, you know, Kenny, I said, the only thing I can tell you is we have got to follow the Lord, and all the rest of this stuff, I says, I know if you worry about it enough, you're just going to get sick, you know, because, you know, we'll bring things upon ourselves. I says, you know, if you're going to look at the world today, you know, you got to be careful. So assembly with those that God puts in your path. Then if somebody puts someone on your mind, you can go to them and you can talk to them and just go out to coffee with them, get to know them a little bit, and mm-hmm. you can make, you know, you don't have to cram God down somebody's throat. You know, you can let the Holy Spirit use you by him. You know, you can just say something. If you know, you don't have to say, well, God told me that you're going through this. You don't have to say that. Just say, have you ever been in a situation where this and this and this happened? And that person said, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going through that now. You know, you don't have to be a super spiritual man, you know, that you've I've read his mail, blah, 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 you know, and get puffed up like we talked about in the last teaching mm-hmm. with 11.
Yes.
You know, it's most people get puffed up, but, you know, if you poke them or if you stick them, get them, like, it's kind of like a marshmallow. If you stick them in the microwave oven and turn the microwave oven on the marshmallow, it kind of explodes, you know, because it's all puffed up. It's just nothing but hot air, and that's what most of us have. I'm sorry, but... Mm-hmm. Most of us as believers, we've come to that place where it's just a lot of words, hot air, something that's trivia, and we really, really don't seek the Lord. Because I don't have any words to tell you other than to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, hear what he says, and then go do what he tells you to do. And when you do, you will find yourself in the center of fellowship and assembling with other like-minded Christians. Well, that's about all I have, Trevor.
Well, you know, Bill, as we come into the last days, this really increases the importance of this discussion, because the people of God are, in generally, are going to need a lot of comforting and encouragement and exhortation to hold fast, because there's going to be many people, according to Jesus, that will give up in the day of persecution and affliction. And we need to encourage people all the more so, as we read that scripture in Hebrews 10 about, as we see this day approaching, to hold fast and exhort one another daily while it's called today, that we have faith before the Lord. And I want to read a scripture from Ephesians 19 through 22. And it says, this is what it says about the beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ that have faith in him. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, or the holy ones, and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This is the building of God. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is building, his church, his ecclesia, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. It has nothing to do with an institution of man. It has nothing to do with a building. It's a spiritual building. And a lot of people are going to be surprised how these last days come to fulfillment. But I encourage people to read Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you build unto me? And where's the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. That is Jesus Christ, and we must be in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And then it goes on and talks about spiritual, the sacrifices of killing animals. This is going to shock people. He that kills an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. And God said, yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. I will also choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did that evil before my eyes and chose that which I delighted not. See, God doesn't delight in sacrifice and offering thou did not want, but he wants a pure heart. The sacrifice unto God is a clean heart. It's being in Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what God's doing. He's causing us to worship him in spirit and truth and assemble as the upright assembly of the Lord in these last days. Go ahead, Bill.
I had thought about, in my book, on the, I've been doing some on the parables, and in Luke 18:9-14, I just want to read that, because this is what we've come to. It's talking about the Pharisee and the tax collector, but it's talking about the religious institutions even of today. Jesus also told this parable to some who were confident that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself like this: God, I thank you I'm not like other people, extortionists, unrighteous people, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. There the tax collector is standing next to him. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. The tax collector, however, stood far off and would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, sinner that I am. I tell you that this man went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's the trouble with most men today, is they all want to be exalted. They want to exalt themselves. And even the ones in the church, and they're the worst ones, because they're supposed to have the Spirit of God within them. And that's a sad, sad indictment of the church.
Yes. So for this man is the Lord looking for, one that is broken and contrite and trembles at his word. This is what God is looking for, ladies and gentlemen. And most people, according to the Lord here, close their ears, plug their fingers in their ears, and turn their neck, turn their shoulder from the Lord, even though they go, they're religious. But we don't want to be that way in this day. We want to offer a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto the Lord that's through Jesus Christ. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, and may you worship God in spirit and in truth.